This is Aviv. Welcome to a new key. Your biggest mistake ever, the symmetry trap. Let me begin today with a disclaimer. Everyone is entitled to a rant once in a long while. This key is my rant about a terrible blind spot and a painful stupidity often perpetrated and rampantly propagated. Perhaps you want to share the symmetry trap insight with your sons and daughters and with your spouse. It saved some couples I know from many therapy sessions. So let's get to it. I have coached and worked with people all around the world from different backgrounds and different ages and income brackets. And in my observation, the symmetry trap is the biggest mistake people fall into in life. For some irrational, crazy reason, people get hooked, even mesmerized by the idea of symmetry, and they expect that life is symmetrical. This ruins almost everything important. Let's talk about this Newtonian obsession. There is nothing symmetrical in the real world. The symmetry trap is a distortion invented by men. See, even beautiful flowers are not symmetrical. And the same goes with leaves or anything else. Similarity and likeness, yes, but symmetry, no. The strange thing is that still this Newtonian obsession that expects action and reaction to be symmetrically opposite and equal causes tremendous grief, misunderstandings, and misery in relationships everywhere. Expecting relationships to be symmetrical is a form of insanity. You assume what you get should be equal to what you give, that the person you love would love you back in a symmetrical way. You think the help you provide to someone else should be offered back symmetrically. The effort you put into a cause will be returned equally to you. This is insane. Now, please hear me out. You might save yourself and your loved ones years of grief. Here is a simple fact. There is absolutely no symmetry in relationships or in anything to do with humans. Expecting symmetry is a sure sign of something gone wrong with our rationality. Especially if only yesterday we were quite happy to do our part and let the other person be and do his or her part. You will not find anywhere in this world any relationship that is symmetrical. It doesn't exist. Oh, there are a great many healthy and robust reciprocal relationships. But reciprocity is not symmetricity. Yes, I just made this word up to make the point. There are rich and fulfilling, meaningful and loving relationships that are not symmetrical. How can something be symmetrical if we are each uniquely different? Perhaps you've tried this with a picture of yourself and you know that your face is not symmetrical. There is no symmetrical face in the world. Take a picture of your face and copy the right side to the left, and on another piece of paper, copy the left to the right. You get two very different pictures. In reality, you look different from both sides. The good news is, you are not symmetrical. Nothing in nature is symmetrical. Let's realize, only man-made, mass-produced products are symmetrical. The question, therefore, is, why do people insist on symmetry? And guess what? This symmetry trap is made worse by political correctness, because it puts a morality on being equal. In my observation, this distorts and corrupts the nature of relationships and engagement in life because young people are indoctrinated to expect it. Now, let me put a magnifying glass on this for a moment as we discuss what I call the Karl Marx fallacy. In business, it's now fashionable to talk about transactional exchange versus relationships. But the fact is that good business is based on equitable exchange, and equitable exchange leads to relationships. Again, reciprocity is important, but reciprocity, as we said, is not symmetrical. To put a final point on this, it's the difference between equality and equitability. That's right, the difference between equality and equitability. Regrettably, even most dictionaries are confused about the matter. So indulge me for a moment. Equal, by definition, is not equitable. This is what Karl Marx failed to understand. And that's the distinction we make with these two statements that are not mutually exclusive, but are in fact observations at different altitudes. First, nothing in this world is equal. Second, a world that continues to move on a trajectory of becoming increasingly more equitable is by definition increasingly enlightened. This is the distinction that Karl Marx, in his obsession, did not realize. Apart from the one man, one vote principle and reductionist economic models, nothing in this world is equal. This is a differentiated universe. Everything is unique. We're talking here about natural processes where nothing turns out to be equal. And if something is meant to be equal, it is meant to be equal to itself. And that is the difference. You are meant to be equal to you. I am meant to be equal to me. Your son is not meant to be equal to you, but to himself. You bring unique value because you are you. Your son brings the unique presence and value that he grows into because of him. That's where equity is found. Only when one can stand and be equal to him or herself, can he or she be part of the whole and find his or her place in the whole. And this naturally leads me to talk about love. Person A loves person B very much. And person B loves person A very much. They each passionately love each other. Not more, not less, and not symmetrically equal. A's love for B and B's love for A are not quantifiable, and therefore are not equal and not symmetrical. Love is what occurs in each one of them uniquely. Therefore, the idea of unrequited love is the biggest falsehood from the beginning of literature. Love happens inside a person. It cannot be unrequited because it cannot be requited in the first place. How was this Newtonian distortion brought into relationships anyway? Here is what I see. You give your love, devotion, and dedication to a cause because you want to, because you feel compelled to, because it gives you meaning and purpose. It is a commitment not conditioned on symmetrical return. We are talking about the equity of faith and of devotion. And reciprocity means that each is working to help the other, that each is trying to help the other person meet his or her needs. Since we are each different, needs are never symmetrical, and neither is their fulfillment. My plea is simple. Looking for symmetry in your relationships with your spouse or your child is a form of insanity that distorts anything natural. It gets in the way of the bounty and beauty of the unquantifiable rewards of the relationship equity. Now it's your turn. Turn the key. Talk to your loved ones and friends about this treacherous trap. Help each other break out of the shackles of symmetry. Open a new possibility for you and for the people you love. Forge together new space and freedom in your relationships and in how you grow and support each other. We are all on a journey to discover our purpose, and realize how we can make this world a better place. This is the meaning of personal equity. It is the equity found in the unique contribution and presence we create and bring to the world. You are here to find yours and to help others grow into their purpose. Thank you for listening.